is on the danger of stopping in the middle. And we're going to look at the story of Joseph. Now, two Sundays back, we were in the book of Hebrews, and we talked about endurance for the race set before us, right? And last week, we talked about how God sees our spiritual desert seasons. So the trials and hardships and the times of waiting, those are hard, but God can use them to teach us so many lessons, to develop our character, to refine us, to increase our dependency on Him. And so that leads to today. And today I want to look at the story of Joseph. Joseph's story is in Genesis, starting in chapter 37. So Joseph is the second youngest son of Jacob. And he was kind of the favorite son, right? In fact, the father had made this fancy robe for him, and the other brothers hated him. Then Joseph has this symbolic dream or vision about how he would rise above his brothers and they would bow down to him. Now, Joseph is only 17 years old, and I think it's fair to say that he had not learned to read the crowd. You know, we sometimes say that, to read your audience, right? And so he told his brothers of his dream, you know, how they were going to bow down to him. And the Bible tells us that the brothers hated him even more for the vision and for him actually saying the vision, right? And then Jesus had another dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars were bowing down to him. And this time he decided to tell his father and his brothers. But this was still not a welcomed time of sharing, right? It was not good. And the brothers begin to plot to kill Joseph. And they take his fancy robe, and they threw him in a dry cistern. So in essence, a pit. And instead of killing him, they decided to sell him as a slave to a caravan of traders that came by with their camels loaded down with spices. And to cover up their evil deed, they put goat blood on his fancy robe, and they told the father that the son had died. And the traders, they sold, the people who were trading, traders, sold Joseph then to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials in Egypt. So what if Joseph had given up hope then? What if he had given up? What if he told God, "You gave me these two fantastic visions about my future, and now I am far away from my father, and I've been sold into slavery. I give up. I don't trust you anymore." Well, that's not what happens in this story, and that is not how this ends. The Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph, and he found favor with the master. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and entrusted to his care all that he owned. So that seems like a pretty good life, right? He's living in Potiphar's house and managing his day-to-day operations. So, okay, that's decent. But Joseph was handsome. And the master's wife made advances on Joseph, and Joseph refused her advances. So the wife gave a false story about Joseph, and then he was put in prison. What if Joseph had given up the race that was set before him at this point? What if he told God, "You have given me two visions, and instead of those coming true, I was sold into slavery, and as a slave, I served my master well, and he let me be in charge of all that he owned. But now his wife has made up lies, and I'm in prison. I give up. I'm not going to follow you any longer. Right? That could have happened. But that's not what happened. The Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And the warden put Joseph in charge of all those that were held in prison. And then, while he was in prison, Joseph, with the power of the Lord, began to interpret dreams. And so there's several dreams in there then that you can read that Joseph interpreted, and he interpreted them well. But then the Pharaoh, he had some dreams. And his wise men were unable to interpret his dreams. But one of the officials who had been in prison previously for a few days, he told the Pharaoh, there's a young Hebrew who is a servant of the prison warden that can interpret dreams. So the Pharaoh, he sent for Joseph. And after Joseph got cleaned up, he's standing before the Pharaoh. And Joseph told him that it was God who allows him to interpret dreams. And, you know, I always think that's so important, that when God gives us an ability to do something, we always give him the credit, right? It was God who allowed him to do that. And he told the ruler that his dream was a warning, that there was going to be 7 great years of abundance, and then there was going to be, that was going to be followed by 7 years of a severe famine. And so the Pharaoh decided to use this information to plan well. During the 7 years of abundance, Egypt would store up grain so that it would be available during the 7 years of famine. And in appreciation for Joseph's discernment, the Pharaoh said that Joseph would be in charge of his palace, and his people would submit to Joseph's orders, and the only one that would be above Joseph would be the Pharaoh himself. Now, right when this happened, Joseph was 31 years old. So for 14 years, Joseph's life has been a roller coaster. It has been full of ups and downs. And then Joseph is going to have 2 sons, and one he named Manasseh, and he said it was because God had made him forget all of his trouble and all of his father's household. And the second son he named Ephraim, and said, because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. And that stuck out to me. That Joseph realized that, yes, he had suffering, but God was still making him fruitful. So we can get so caught up in our suffering that we miss that God can still make us fruitful. So then the famine begins, and Joseph was prepared. And other countries, they come to Egypt to buy grain because the famine was so severe everywhere. And Jacob, Joseph's father, he heard that there was grain to buy in Egypt. And so in this complicated series of events, the brothers and the father, they're going to travel down to get grain. And they had to bow down before Joseph because Joseph was in charge of who they would sell grain to, right? And Joseph forgives his family and tells them that it was God's plan that Joseph came to Egypt to save lives. So Jacob and his family, they've come to Egypt, and they are well taken care of for the next 5 years of the famine. And then Jacob is going to give this wonderful blessing over Joseph. And this week, if you want to read that whole blessing, it is found in Genesis 49. But he speaks over Joseph and the brothers. And Joseph is going to receive a double portion of his inheritance because Jacob is going to include Joseph's sons And so they're each going to get a piece of the inheritance. In this blessing, Jacob establishes the 12 tribes of Israel. And so this is a happy ending, right? Well, the happy ending only comes because of Joseph's willingness to see God's plan through to the end. What if he refused to forgive? He held on to bitterness. What if he refused to see the complexity of God's plan? Do you see that betrayal didn't lead him away from the promise that God had given him, but it put him in position to receive it? And that's pretty important. Sometimes the things that are happening to us put us in position to receive something else. It is hard to see the plan when we're in the middle of the story. When we're in the middle of betrayal, it is impossible to see that that is good. Now, your brothers probably didn't sell you into slavery, but maybe they did something to you that's difficult for you to forgive. Maybe someone cheated on you in some way. It's really hard to see that going anywhere positive. Maybe God gave you a vision, and you don't see any sign of that coming true yet. We can't stop a surgery halfway through it because it seems cruel. We can't stop a builder when he's working on demolition because we don't see the masterpiece yet. Things are only going to make sense when God puts them together. Oh, and isn't that true? Have you ever been on a building site and it's just chaotic and messy and you can't see how this is going to come together, how this is going to be a beautiful house or office building or whatever. But the builder sees it. And that's true for our church. God has given a vision to plant a Spanish service in our own church. Two different pastors have prophesied about our church. Bibles were given. But now we're in the waiting. We're in the middle of that story. And it is not our decision of when God is going to give us the next chapter. We don't know the final outcome. We don't know what it's going to be like. But we certainly don't give up now. We continue to pray and we continue to look for the amazing things that God is going to do next. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4:7, and this verse is on the front of your bulletin. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And from that, I see that we have to finish the race that's set before us. We cannot say, God, you did not do what I thought you should do, so I'm going to quit serving. God didn't answer my prayer in the way that I thought he should answer it, so I'm going to quit praying. No, it's not what we do. We keep the faith, and we endure to the end of our story. Maybe you're going through something that you don't understand. Maybe you don't need an explanation. You need to trust and stay faithful in your story. So this morning, we have seen what God can do with someone stuck in a pit. Remember, he didn't get to the palace. He didn't get to do all the wonderful things that he gets to do if he hadn't started in that pit. But when he was in the pit, it didn't seem full of hope. If I were in a pit, I wouldn't go, thank you, God, for what you're doing. But maybe we should. If you you're still breathing. God is still keeping you. He's still working out your story. And we need to keep praying for God's favor, the kind of favor he gave Joseph. Favor that we don't deserve and that other people are not going to understand. When they look at our life, they are not going to understand what's happening with us. Let's look at Jesus. Jesus stayed faithful to his earthly mission, and he proclaimed it as finished, meaning that he fulfilled a contract that the people who had crucified him didn't understand. And when Jesus proclaimed that it is finished, that is what that means, is that he had fulfilled the contract. But Jesus didn't stop on his mission when he was born here and he had taught us a lot of wonderful lessons. He didn't stop there. He suffered and he died for our sins. He defeated death. He was resurrected. He ascended to heaven and now sits on the throne on the right side of the Father. And the story still doesn't end there. Jesus will return. So that story is still continuing. We know how it's going to end, though. And Jesus is our perfect example. But we, too, must finish the course and keep the faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan for our lives. We may not understand where our journey is taking us, but help us to keep moving forward in the direction you have for us. I pray that you comfort our hearts when we feel discouraged, betrayed, heartbroken. But in that comfort, may we also find faith that you will work things out for good. We pray for your people and your churches to keep their eyes on you. In this hurting world, let your churches proclaim your salvation, your light, your love. And let that be the heart of this church. May we seek more of you every day. May our hearts be stirred by the Holy Spirit. And may we be obedient, even in the middle of our story. Thank you, dear God.